Our reading this morning is taken from John 14, verses 15 to 27, and that starts on page 1082 of the Church Bibles. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. But do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Claire. Completely irrelevant, but imagine being Judas and going through the rest of your life, Judas, not Iscariot. So just a reminder for those of you who were here yesterday, and if you're not here, just to give you a briefing on what we covered yesterday. In the first session, I simply wanted to say, the Father loves you. If you are not here, hear it. The Father loves you. You. He has particular affection for you. The Father loves you. In the second session, I wanted to call us deeper into devotion of Jesus Christ, who is worthy of our love and adoration. And I was saying that it would be wonderful if we could all be fluent in the language of love when we talk about Jesus Christ and able to say why we love him. And I spent a bit of time telling the people yesterday why I love him. If you weren't there and you want to know, you can ask me over lunch, over tea and coffee afterwards. So the Father loves you. Jesus is worthy of our love and adoration. And in the third session, I was saying that being loved by the Father, us loving Jesus Christ, is all given credibility because Jesus rose from the dead. This morning, I want to say that everything I talked about yesterday is given legs because of the Holy Spirit. We live as God's beloved children, devoted to Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection, because the Holy Spirit came just as Jesus promised that he would. I love the reading that we've just had. I love all the Holy Spirit conversations that Jesus has with his disciples in John's gospel. But for this purpose of being rooted in God, I really love this reading because I think it holds together the themes that we've been exploring together. I love the way that Jesus very, very naturally talks about the Father, raising the expectation that his Father will love us just as he himself has been loved. And he invites us into the intimacy of his life with the Father. And he talks about the life that we will continue to live, that he will continue to live, a life that becomes ours because he lives. There's real poignancy in this conversation because Jesus is, of course, preparing them for his death. And yet, at the same time, he seems to be preparing them for a richer experience of himself, a richer experience made possible by the other presence that seems to be the magnet that will draw us into the intimate relationship with the Father and the Son. So Jesus says this, if you love me, if you were here yesterday, I hope your little heart went, yes, I love you. Also, if you were not here. But if you love me, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. It's interesting that Jesus starts this part of the conversation with these words. It's as if he's warning us that what he's about to say won't mean anything to you if you don't love him. And it won't mean anything if you are not willing to obey him. Love and obedience are the starting point. If you love me, show me by doing what I have told you. And it's obviously a big part of the conversation that Jesus wants to have with us about the Holy Spirit. In these 12 verses alone, the word love appears 7 times and obey 3 times. So it seems to me that an important part of our response to the invitation to have a greater level of intimacy with the Father and the Son through the Spirit has to do with love and obedience. Yes?
Yes.
It's as if Jesus is asking, are you in? Are you? Well, if you are, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. A really rich word, this, which I'm sure you've heard many times, many of you, paraclete. Jesus is saying something like this. You have had me physically as your supporter, your champion, your upholder, your promoter, your backer, your patron. You've had me as your friend, as your mainstay. Well, I'm going to ask the Father to give you another one of those. I will talk to the Father, and he will provide you with another friend so that you will always have someone with you. I've had this painful conversation with you about leaving you. I know, but listen, When he comes, and his name is the Holy Spirit, by the way, when he comes, he will never leave you. Never. Never. More than that, he will lead you into all truth. Earlier, Jesus had already told his disciples that truth is not primarily about ideas. It's a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. The Holy Spirit is the one who will lead us into truth. He will lead us to a person, the best person ever. He leads us to Jesus. The three stories today, the work of the Holy Spirit, leading people to Jesus. And Jesus says, we won't be left as orphans. Not only will the Paraclete come, but he will also restore to us the one we've come to love, the one we thought we were losing. I don't know if there are any Oliver Twist fans in the room. Don't we rejoice when the poor orphan boy is finally legally adopted? Charles Dickens does a brilliant job of painting a picture of the danger and desolation of being an orphan. And Jesus says that picture doesn't have to describe our lives. My last summer as vicar of St. John's Egham, I baptized a woman who had been a Christian for a long, long time, and she was one of our most faithful disciples. But for some reason, had never been baptized, not as a baby or anything. And just one day, that little duet of believe and be baptized came together for her. She thought, gosh, I've believed all these years, but I've never been baptized. And as God always does, the timing of her baptism was really special, because it came at a time of a trio of bereavements. She lost her mother, she was very close to, and then very unexpectedly her father, and then unexpectedly her job. She was a gifted primary school teacher whose school was no longer viable, and with very little warning, they all lost their jobs. And she talked about, in her testimony, the experience of becoming an orphan, and yet, realizing Jesus meant it, I will not leave you as orphans. Hallelujah, not as orphans are we left in sorrow now. Hallelujah, he is near us. Faith believes, no questions how. Though the clouds from sight received him when the 40 days were all over, shall our hearts forget his promise? I am with you forevermore. Hallelujah, not as orphans. We will not be left as orphans, and we will not be given over to the grave. Since I live, Jesus said, you also will live. We talked quite at length yesterday about dying and dying well, because Jesus lives, we will live. His victory over death is so absolute that death can no longer rob us of the ones we love, and death cannot overcome our own lives. Because he lives, we will live. in this world, fullness of life, and in the world to come. And we will live lives beyond what we could have asked or imagined. Lives that are held within the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Listen to these wonderful words from Jesus again. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Is that beautiful? Oh, I love him. I love him. I love him. He will come and make his home with us. It's always at this point, I think, in this reading, when I literally feel showers of blessing over me. Listen, as you seek to love Jesus and obey his commands, God himself will come to you and make his home with you. A wonderful blessing of belonging that can never be taken away from you. Not by trouble or sorrow. Not by anything in earth or in heaven. And this belonging to this family, God's family, means that you are part of a family where you are not left to flounder. It's a family where, to use a modern term, mentoring takes place. You see, the disciples had sat at Jesus' feet, and no doubt he's the greatest teacher that ever lived. And the disciples were, in a sense, losing him. But Jesus assured them that this other advocate would teach them everything, remind them of everything. Reading this during exam season makes me think about the anxiety that can attend exams. We had both GCSEs and A-levels last summer. So, you know, I barely survived to tell it. But there's often fear, isn't there? What if at the crucial moment I forget everything? What if I fail? Imagine if you were allowed to take your favorite teacher in with you, who was allowed to remind you of everything that they ever taught you. Wouldn't that be great? Well, some people are afraid that they might fail at life. Jesus, the greatest teacher that ever lived, taught us how to live. And the amazing thing is that he has sent the Holy Spirit to teach us again and again and to remind us of everything that Jesus has taught us. And that life is guaranteed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Through him, God himself will come and make his home with us. What a promise. What a promise. Can you see that with the Spirit of God with us, friends, we are blessed without measure. Absolutely blessed without measure. And then Jesus ends this particular conversation by saying this: I'm leaving you with a gift. I don't know where your mind went there, but I think more. I mean, what you've given already is like, whoa, but there's more. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Let's just sit with that for a moment. Because I think this is the place. Because living without worry, anxiety or fear sounds to many of us, if we are honest, like an impossible promise. As unattainable as life without oxygen. Is it possible to live like this? And for some of you, it's taken real courage and sacrifice to be here as you followed God's leading. And if we're honest, there are times when it feels like it's cost you your peace of mind and heart. And yet, Jesus makes this seemingly impossible promise. And for me, I come down to this. Has he proved himself trustworthy or not? Surely he who has conquered the grave can also make good this promise to rescue us from fear and give us the gift of peace. It seems to me that other things that he promised in the reading are far easier to believe and take hold of. We've known the love of the Father. We can grow deeper into that love. You are here because you've experienced something of the love of the Father in Christ Jesus, even if you've just seen it in someone else. If we are in Christ Jesus, we've experienced the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be a raving charismatic for that to be true. You have experienced something of the life of Christ, and that is undoubtedly the work of the Holy Spirit. But this promise about the gift of peace, if we are honest, for a lot of us, that's something else altogether. Just so you don't misunderstand me, I'm not talking about the absence of trouble. Peace in the valley of the shadow of death. David experienced this. I love Psalm 23, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that. And it begins with these beautiful, peace-inducing words. Being led by green pastures, sitting beside quiet waters, I can always picture it. And in my mind, I'm lying on the grass and hay fever cannot touch me. But those words were written by someone who knew what it was to be pursued by enemies. Someone who knew what it is to sin big time. Someone who lived in the darkest of valleys. And yet he spoke of peace, shalom, peace beyond understanding. I wonder if we can take Jesus at his word and pray for ourselves and for each other to receive this wonderful gift of peace. Don't be afraid. My peace I give you. And it's a gift that I give, not as the world gives. That means you can trust it. So friends, the promised Spirit is here. Be rooted in the love of the Father. Know that God loves you. Let that love overflow into love for Jesus. He is worthy of our adoration. And live in peace in the company of the Holy Spirit. For we cannot do any of this in our own strength. But thank God, we are not left as orphans. God God himself has come and made his home with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.